Show a little earlier this morning, as you heard Chris just mention. That's because Navy football coverage starts at 11 a.m. in my normal time slot, at any rate. Glad you could join me this morning. We've been talking about a lot of different things so far. And one of them are the cases that are sitting before the Maryland Supreme Court now, very significant cases that are awaiting decision. One of them has to do with the law that was passed in 2023 called the Child Victims Act. And this is the law passed by the Maryland legislature that lifts the time limit, statute of limitations, for survivors of child sex abuse to file lawsuits and makes the whole process of suing the institutions involved a lot easier to maneuver. The court is deciding whether the act is constitutional. Joining me this morning are two of the attorneys involved in this litigation and in this case before the Maryland Supreme Court, Jonathan Shakur and Andrew Janet. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for joining me this morning.
A pleasure.
Okay, Jonathan, Andrew, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, great. We're all on set here. Okay, so let's go back. So you all argued this, the case was argued. This is being challenged by the Archdiocese of Washington. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore.
No, the Archdiocese of Baltimore went into federal bankruptcy. The Archdiocese of Washington, which contains five counties in Maryland, so everyone's clear on that, chose to file a motion to dismiss, arguing that the CVA law that was passed by the legislature is unconstitutional, and that somehow they are immune from any of these prosecutions in civil court permanently, in perpetuity, and forever.
What is the argument that they're making on the Constitution? The legislature passed this in 2023. What's the argument that it is unconstitutional?
Well, first, I think it's important to recognize that the legislature passed the CVA, the Child Victims Act, in response to the Attorney General of Maryland's report in April of 2023, documenting over 8 decades of sexual abuse and concealment by their enablers, by clergy and the church. That's what the legislature was responding to. The CVA lifts the statute of limitations for civil actions against these predators and their enablers so that the admitted sexual abuse survivors in Maryland, who are all kids, children, may come forward now, sue in civil court, prove their cases, obtain compensation for the unspeakable horrors they have suffered over decades of abuse. They can gain closure. They can rebuild their lives, have funds to get counseling from psychiatric or psychological experts, and hold those accountable who are the sexual predators and their enablers who concealed this known sexual abuse for 8 decades. So the legislature was acting in response to this report. We believe fervently that the legislature has a duty to respond to changing times, new information. That the legislature, in addition to the report, knew that the research and studies indicate that these minors, kids who were sexually abused, take years and many decades to come to grips with this and be able to come forward. And therefore, the legislature did the responsible thing and passed the CVA, permitting those people to come forward with their civil claims. Excuse me. The Archdiocese argues that they are permanently, constitutionally immunized forever, that the legislature has no power, as long as Maryland exists in the future, to change a 2017 law. The CVA changed that law to lift the statute of limitations. The Archdiocese argues that somehow this statute was what is known as a statute of repose, not a statute of limitations. I will not go into the details, Jane, unless you ask me. The statute has to be viewed by the courts, by us, the public, and the legislature as to how it operates. How does it function? And the law clearly functions as a statute of limitations, not a statute of repose, which the Archdiocese argues furnishes them with immunity forever. If you want me to get into details, we will, Andrew and I. If not,
suffice. I think we kind of get the idea here of what's going on. Andrew, I thought you were going to start to say something there.
Yeah, I was just going to add, you know, obviously the way that legislating typically works is not that one legislature can bind a future legislature. The only way that the Archdiocese can argue that the 2017 law would prevent them from doing what they did in 2023 is by claiming that this is a statute of repose, which they claim creates this immunity. We do not think that's what the General Assembly intended in 2017. If it had been, that would have been this huge boon to a specific category of people, sexual abuse enablers. And we don't think that the General Assembly intended to pass a law in 2017 that was this massive gift to sexual abuse enablers.
And I think correct me if I'm wrong, but the 2017 law that was passed by the Maryland legislature included what you're referring to as a statute of repose that barred survivors of child sex abuse from suing their abuser's employer after they turn 38, up from 25 under previously existing law. So am I right about that? It moved the age a little bit, but didn't lift it entirely.
That's right. That law had a tolling provision, meaning a minor had to reach age of majority, 18 years plus 20, to add up to the 38 years you referenced. And the legislature, in view of the information they gained, the Attorney General's report and the research and studies showing that it takes decades, if ever, for people to come to grips with this and come forward, decided responsibly to lift that statute of limitations completely and let these people come forward if and when they desired.
So what's the impact of this? Let's talk first of all about the cases in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, which are in bankruptcy court.
That's correct.
So what's the impact of the court's decision on that?
We don't know, to be honest.
This is like, we're talking about one set of, alleged victims in the Archdiocese of Washington, and another set who are already in bankruptcy court in Baltimore. In Baltimore.
That's accurate.
I think it's fair to say that the committee who represents the child sexual abuse survivors in the bankruptcy would push back on any notion of just kind of throwing out the bankruptcy if the law was found unconstitutional. I don't know what the Archdiocese of Baltimore's approach to it would be. I mean, I think it would be something that we don't really know how the court would ultimately rule on that in the bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's why I said, frankly, we don't know. Technically speaking, in my opinion, the Archdiocese of Baltimore went into bankruptcy voluntarily. If this law were found to be unconstitutional, which we fervently believe would be ridiculous in our opinion anyway, that does not automatically mean that the Archdiocese of Baltimore leaves bankruptcy.
I was just going to say, it just automatically reverses it, right?
In the bankruptcy proceedings, maybe not. It depends on the court, and we can't foresee that.
Other states have enacted these kinds of, like the Child Victims Act, where they've lifted the statute of limitations or eased the statute of limitations. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's yes. Correct. Actually, I'm also barred in New York, and I started working on cases under the New York Child Victims Act, which lifted the statute of limitations for child sexual abuse litigation temporarily from 2019 to 2021. That's when claims could be brought. So I've had some experience with those cases before even starting on the Maryland Child Victims Act cases.
But they have withstood challenge.
Yes, there have been a number of attempts to try to convince New York courts to hold the New York Child Victims Act unconstitutional, and they've all been unsuccessful. It's been upheld against all those challenges.
So the Maryland decision could have a broader impact in terms of what it might do to serve as, you know, I don't know, precedent, but obviously it's a state decision, but could go further.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, Maryland has this unique argument that has presented itself to the defense here with this 2017 law that they're claiming is the statute of repose. So that may make things a little bit different than it would be in other states. But certainly, you know, we are aware of how this has turned out in other states and any future states where a law like this is passed and challenged. Those states will be aware of how Maryland deals with the issue.
Yeah, and don't forget that the DVA affects not only the Archdiocese of Washington and Baltimore, but every defendant. So if there are schools or prisons or detention centers or any defendant where we have sexual abusers and their enablers involved, the CBA applies to all of those.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's a good point to make, because it's not just the Catholic Church. This law covers everybody that was a victim of child sex abuse.
Yeah. Absolutely correct. So if the court found that the legislature somehow intended to never change the 2017 law forever and immunize the church and any other defendant, as I mentioned, from being held accountable, to my view, in any event, the legislature never intended to do that.
The arguments were made on September 10th. I believe it was September 10th.
Yes.
When do you expect a decision? Sometimes it can take a long time, so that's why I'm asking. Yes. Do you expect a prompt decision, or what do you expect?
Well, we don't know. It's up to the court's discretion and the judges to research and write their opinions, as they always do. And it could be, I always say to people who ask, weeks to months. But how many months? We don't know.
I think the absolute deadline is August of next year. It's entirely possible that they'll rule before then. I mean, this court has seen fit to take some steps to, I think, try to brief this issue relatively quickly. I think they know that everyone wants some clarity and closure on this issue of whether the CBA is constitutional. So hopefully we'll have a decision before then.
All right. Jonathan Shakur and Andrew Janet, both attorneys who are representing victims of alleged sex abuse, in your case, and by the church, but by any institution that is affected by the 2023 law called the Child Victims Act. Thanks for joining me today, and we'll see what the Supreme Court rules.
Thanks for having us, Jane.
All right, have a good weekend. This is the Jane Miller Show on WBAL News Radio 1090 and FM 101.5. Please.